In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, we've arrived at the first Sunday of this Triodian period, and we're being prepared now for the great fast, the great Lenten journey, which lies ahead of us. And on this first Sunday of the Triodian period, we have this gospel of the publican and the Pharisee. Now, publican, of course, means tax collector, and in the translation that I read from, it actually just says tax collector. So we have this contrast that the Lord gives in this parable, these two people, one a Pharisee, meaning, of course, the member of the strictest sect of the Jews. So we have to understand that Pharisee isn't simply synonymous with hypocrite. Oftentimes the Lord castigates the Pharisees and he castigates the hypocrites, and we sort of think in terms of, you know, Pharisees all being a bunch of hypocrites. But from a Jewish perspective, from, you know, a Jewish mindset in the first century, in the time when the Lord was doing his earthly ministry, a Pharisee was a member of the strictest sect, meaning the most zealous. They were the orthodox. They were the orthodox. They were the ones keeping the true faith, you know? And they were struggling to be righteous. And certainly some of them did that very sincerely. St. Paul's a great example of a Pharisee who was very sincere. He was deadly sincere, you know? He was ready to put the Christians to death when he thought that they were on the wrong side. But he was very sincere. He wasn't a hypocrite. So the Lord is presenting this contrast, not between, you know, somebody who's ungodly and another ungodly person, but somebody who at least outwardly seems to be very righteous, seems to be keeping all of the precepts of the law. That's important to understand. The Pharisee is outwardly righteous. And he says, and of course, he's saying it in a boastful way, and that's the problem. But he says, you know, I do all of these things. I live a moral life. You know, I'm not like extortioners. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the Lord is not saying that we shouldn't fast twice a week. And he's not saying that we shouldn't give tithes of what we possess. In other places, he talks about tithes. And he says, you should keep those tithes, you should give those tithes, but you should also not neglect the weightier matters of the law having to do with mercy. So it's not an either or. I just want to make that clear. So we have the Pharisee who's outwardly righteous, and then we have the tax collector who's outwardly unrighteous. This was somebody that the Jews would have regarded as a lowlife, you know, like a scumbag, like, you know, somebody who takes advantage of other people. Some kind of loan shark or, you know, something like that, who comes after people. His whole living has to do with taking advantage of other people. So outwardly, he's a sinful person. So this is the contrast between somebody outwardly very righteous and very pious and outwardly sinful. But inwardly, it's another story, and that's the whole point. Inwardly, it's another story. The Lord, of course, regards the heart. He regards the intention. He regards what's within us. And of course, in this case, as he tells the parable, the Lord shows us by their actions and by their words what's inside of them. Because we can't, you know, have a glimpse into their heart otherwise, but the Lord gives us that glimpse into their heart by revealing it through their actions and their words. So, the Pharisee, yes, he's outwardly righteous, but he's boasting. He's boasting, and as he's boasting, he's criticizing and putting down the publican, the tax collector. He's seeing himself as good and righteous, and the tax collector as sinful. He's boasting about himself. He's full of conceit, full of pride, and he's full of judgment towards the other, towards his brother. And so this is what he says. I thank you that I'm not like other men. I'm righteous. I'm not like those unrighteous ones out there. And not only that, but it says that the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. It's as if his prayer can't rise up to heaven. It just stays right with him. because it's not a real prayer at all. He's not regarding God as the Almighty God. He's not standing before Him with real penitence, with sorrow for his sins, with contrition. He's simply being boastful, and his prayer is ineffective. What about the tax collector? We have the opposite situation. Outwardly, he's unrighteous, but inwardly, his heart is broken and contrite. And what does it say in Psalm 50? It says that a heart that is broken and contrite, God will not despise. That's the heart that God loves, a broken heart, a heart that's aware of its own sinfulness, that's repentant, that's begging for mercy. And this is how the publican was. He knew he was sinful. He knew that he had nothing outwardly to show. But his heart was broken for it, and he was begging God for mercy. And so this is what it expresses. It says, he did not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, as if he's not even worthy to look up, but his head was cast down. And he beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And these aren't just words coming out of his mouth. This is the content of his heart, and that's the point. It's completely sincere. It's not hypocritical. There's a story that you may have heard before, and it illustrates this contrast between the sincere prayer and of humility, expressing humility, and the insincere prayer. There was a certain priest, and he came into church one day, and he was standing before the holy doors, and he was saying, I'm not worthy. Oh God, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. And then along came the deacon, and he saw the priest, and he heard what he was saying, and he heard him saying, I'm not worthy, O Lord, I'm not worthy. And so the deacon said, this is a good prayer. I'm going to say the same. So he started saying, I'm not worthy. Lord, I'm not worthy. And then into the church came the janitor. He thought he was going to, sweep and vacuum and so on. But he sees the priest and the deacon up in front of the holy doors, and he hears them saying, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy. And then he starts to say, yes, this is the right way to pray. I'm not worthy. I know my sinfulness. I'm not worthy, Lord. I'm not worthy. And the priest and the deacon hear the janitor, and they look over, and the priest nudges the deacon and says, look who thinks he's not worthy. Because so often, even when we are outwardly expressing humility, or even when we're trying to be humble, it turns out to be insincere. It's false humility. It's false humility. And this is what we must avoid at all costs. So we could say that this parable of the publican and the Pharisee shows us the contrast between pride and true humility. Not false humility, but a truly broken heart. So we see this contrast between pride and humility, and this is what many of the liturgical texts talk about, how we must carry out the fast with humility and not with conceit, not with boastfulness, not with vainglory, not doing it for show, not so that we can, prove to ourselves and others how righteous we are, but with real humility. But we could also speak of this as a contrast between hypocrisy and sincerity, between those who are hypocritical, and we, when we are hypocritical in our faith and in the way we live our Christian life, and between that and the sincerity with which we must live our Christian life, with which we're called to live our Christian life. And we can say that hypocrisy characterizes the world that we live in. This fallen world is full of hypocrisy. And we see it in all kinds of ways, We see it in government leaders. We see it in people boasting about various things on social media. We see it in spiritual leaders who outwardly are very righteous, but then we find out they're living immoral lives behind the scenes. So we see hypocrisy in all of these ways. And many people get disillusioned because of this. And they say, well, everything's hypocritical. Christians are all hypocrites. No one's sincere. And this is what the Lord warns us about when he says, woe to you when you cause little ones to stumble. When we live hypocritical lives, and then other people see our hypocrisy, and then they say, well, maybe it's not even true. Why should I believe this? Why should I follow this? So the Lord says it would be better to tie a millstone around us and cast us into the sea, to drown us, rather than to lead little ones astray because of our false faith, our false religiosity. God forbid. So we see it in the world around us. But this parable, of course, brothers and sisters, is not calling us to seek hypocrisy in the world around us. But it's calling us to examine our own hearts. To examine our own hearts. Not to hunt up hypocrisy around us, or, you know, hunt it down in other people, but to seek it in our own hearts and hunt it down there. In what ways are we hypocritical? We're hypocritical when we're insincere with others, when we say one thing and when we mean something else. We're hypocritical when we expect others to, you know, conduct themselves in pious ways and we don't do the same. We don't do what we're expecting others to do. We're hypocritical when we are insincere in prayer. You know, when we stand in liturgy or when we stand in our prayer corner and we're saying our prayers and we're saying the words, but we're not meaning them not only with our heart, but oftentimes not even in our mind, because our minds are elsewhere. We're distracted. We're thinking about many other things, like Martha. Martha, Martha, you are worried about many things, but one thing is needful. And so our mind is on all of these various things, you know. We're saying our Father who art in heaven, but we're thinking about some meme we saw, or somebody that we're angry at. And we're angry with the person as we're saying these words. You know, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But inside, we're not forgiving those who trespass against us. We're holding it against them. Well, this is hypocrisy. It's a lie. You know, we're lying with our mouths to God. So, what can we do? Let us relentlessly persecute the hypocrisy that's inside of us. Let us relentlessly persecute hypocrisy within us until we're completely sincere. This is what we must do. And as we do that, we must force ourselves to say what we mean or mean what we say, and not to speak hypocritically to others. We have to force ourselves to actually listen when other people are speaking to us. You know, you're having a conversation, somebody's telling you something, you're nodding, going, and you're thinking about something else. That's hypocrisy. So we have to force ourselves to actually listen to that, to actually give our attention to the other person. And then, of course, we must force ourselves, most of all, to be attentive in our prayer. To be attentive to our God, not to be hypocritical when we stand in prayer, not to be hypocritical when we beg for mercy, when we say, Lord, have mercy, but to mean it with our whole heart and our whole being, with our mind, with our strength, with our whole self. So may we regard this parable as a wonderful example and as a warning and a teaching and exhortation to us as we begin this Lenten period and throughout our lives, as long as God gives us in this world, that we might flee from hypocrisy, that we might seek sincerity always. And when we recognize certain aspects of hypocrisy in ourselves, certain hypocritical behaviors, let's not be satisfied with that, but let's persecute it in ourselves. Let's pursue it and root it out, and beg God to give us sincere hearts, contrite hearts, broken hearts, that He will not despise. May the Lord help us to persecute the hypocrisy in our hearts, granting us true sincerity in faith and in love, always, now, and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.